For inviting me. And indeed, I'm going to talk about singular support for categories, which can be viewed as some kind of categorification of the notion of singular support for coherent sheaves or incoherent sheaves. And so my plan is to first basically remind the story of the story that we are trying to generalize, so the singular support for incoherent sheaves. And then talk about categories over spaces and singular support in this setup. And if there's any time left, then to actually explain why we are interested in it. So motivation. Which is the relation with the geometric Langlands program. And when I say we, I mean that this is based on a work in progress joint with Dennis Gates-Gorey. Okay, I can now let the board go where it wants to. And so let's start. Suppose X is a quasi-smooth derived scheme. No, should I say derived DG? I think some, anyway. And I will work in characteristic zero. And in fact, all the questions I discuss will be local, so feel free to assume that the scheme is affine if it makes life easier. And it's important to keep in mind the following explicit example. Explicitly, I just want this X to be a complete intersection. So the example is that suppose I start with actually smooth variety S, and then there's a map from S into a vector space V. I'll just assume that it's a vector space rather than something arbitrary smooth, just to make life easier. And then X is the preimage of zero. So if the map is dominant, we can take preimage in the usual sense. So it's going to be classical. Otherwise, we have to take it as a derived scheme. So in such setup, you can talk about the shifted cotangent bundle. I'm not really talking about the shifted cotangent bundle. I'm talking about the minus first cohomology, really, of the cotangent bundle. I don't really. So there is this object, which, I mean, it's kind of a vector bundle over X, except the dimension of the vector space varies with the point. And again, looking at this specific example, we can write this object explicitly. It's going to, let me stop running back to my notes. So it's going to actually sit in the product of X and the dual of V. And it's just going to consist of covectors that are orthogonal to the image of the differential of this map at the corresponding point. So this set of points x xi such that xi is orthogonal to the image of d, should I write it, df of x. So in particular, of course, at the points where the differential is surjective, xi has to be zero, and those are exactly the points where x is smooth. All right. So then in such situation, you can start with a coherent sheaf or a complex of coherent sheaves, so an object in the derived category more generally, on X and assign to such an object conical Zariski closed subset of this minus first cotangent bundle, which by analogy with D-modules and constructible sheaves, we can call the singular support of F. And again, in the example, you can describe this quite explicitly, namely, it's not hard to see that there is a natural map from this vector space V to the second Hochschild cohomology of S, which means that it's going to act on anything, so in particular on any coherent sheaf. So you will get a map from here to X2 from F to itself. And so, which means that the symmetric power, the symmetric algebra of V is going to map to the Xth algebra of F. And then we can take the support of this object, of this algebra, as a module, not just over the symmetric power of V, but I mean, if we want to end up with a subset here, we have to consider it as a module simultaneously over V and over functions on X. So let's say singular support of F is going to be the support of this Xth algebra as OX tensor sin V module. And then I guess the claim is that it actually sits not in this, just in this product, but in this subset.
Can you just say again, what is H minus one of this part?
H, well, this is because X is complete intersection, its cotangent bundle sits in 2 degrees, 0 and -1. So the zeroth is what we usually look at, and this is the minus first component. And this is what it explicitly looks like in this example. So it's basically it's the orthogonal complement to the image of the differential. So which one is it going to be? The kernel of the codifferential.
So this like expression in bracket is precisely H minus one.
Ah, wonderful. Sorry. This is what happens when my notes get too far away from me. Yes, what I meant is this, and it sits in X cross V star. Sorry for this. Any other questions? Yes.
So somehow it sits in some shifted cotangent bundle,
right? Right now I'm thinking of the support as a set. Oh. So I'm not thinking of it. In general, that's kind of what it should be. When you have an object in the derived category, I can talk about its support as a subset, but what is its support? As a scheme is kind of subtle. So similarly, that's why here I feel free to completely ignore what actually happens with H naught and not try to think of this as a DG scheme or anything like that, just thinking of this as a kind of in the rough terms.
It is basically the classical truncation of the T star of X you develop.
Exactly, except again, I even if there is some non-reduced structure here, I don't even care about that. So you can take the reduced part of the classical truncation, which I guess would be just the reduced subscript.
What are the arrows?
I didn't say, but really it's relatively easy to see. Let me just say it in the case when V is one-dimensional. Basically, this is the abstraction to deforming F from the zeroth fiber of this map to nearby fibers. Other questions? All right.
The map from V to H H2 of S directly, that's easier to describe, or it's...
Now it's easy. Okay, I promise to look closer at my notes from now on. So, now from this, we can get a full subcategory. In the category of coherent sheaves of just things with some restriction on the singular support. So we get this category, which is just F in core X, such that the singular support of F is contained in Z. So this is works for any closed conical Z in this shifted cotangent bundle. And so, for example, if I take, if I let this set to be the zero section, then what I get are going to be exactly perfect complexes. If I take the entire, if I take this entire shifted cotangent bundle, if there's no restriction on the singular support, then I'll get the entire core. And generally speaking, I just will get something in between. Well, technically, I guess I only get something in between if the conical subset contains the zero section. Otherwise, it could be even smaller than this. But I'm still going to put it between these two. All right, so we get this full subcategory, and now we can take int completion of all of this. So int completion. And so on the top line, we get int perf, which is also known as quasi-coherent sheaves, or rather the usual derived category. What is usually known as the derived category of X. On the bottom line, we're going to get int coherent sheaves, which also, which I should write something like int core of X is equal to int core X. And in the middle, I'm going to get some full subcategory. So I guess I can write that this is like, there's no other way of saying it, int core X sub Z. And so the one way to look at this is that we're actually, this is somehow the most familiar of all these categories, the usual derived category of X. And then the point is that this usual derived category just corresponds to the zero section in this. So this is my picture of the shifted cotangent bundle. So maybe if, so the yellow thing sits here. And then we are trying to extend the notion of quasi-coherent sheaf to get, and this corresponds to moving the support, extending the support from the zero section to some, to any conical subset, perhaps the whole thing. All right, and I guess the final remark that I want to make about this setup is that this actually does behave as a well-behaved support should. So, for instance, let's say this singular support behaves as expected. So, for instance, if Z1 is contained in Z2, then one full category will be contained in the other. Obviously, but more interestingly is that this one is the colocalization of the other, so the inclusion functor has a right adjoint, which is this colocalization. All right, so there are several reasons to study incoherent sheaves and study their singular support. So my motivation comes mostly from geometric Langlands, which I might say a few words about near the end of the talk. All right, so that's it for this review of coherent support of coherent and incoherent sheaves. If there are no questions, let's move on. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
You say that perfect complexes have singular support of mm-hmm. zero. Does that mean somehow that perfect complexes can always be deformed under that map, or what is the interpretation
of that? Well, that for up to first order. So not necessarily, because I'm not saying that this abstraction acts. So to say that something is supported at zero doesn't mean that functions act as zero, because it's set theoretic notion. It just means that they act in an important way.
I see. Okay, so you're saying that the obstruction to deforming to first order is an important obstruction.
Yes.
For coherent sheaves, but not for
perfect sheaves, but not necessarily for coherent sheaves.
Maybe you said it, but can we see this singular support as a default of perfectness for?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's particularly easy again when V is one-dimensional, and so then X is a singular hypersurface, just complete intersection hypersurface, and then basically there are. So if V is one-dimensional, the way this picture looks is, where's my hidden board? So this is X, and then this will just have one-dimensional fibers. This has to be a subspace in V star, so it has two options, zero-dimensional or one-dimensional. So either it's zero or it's one-dimensional, and it's going to be one-dimensional exactly at singular points of X. So these are the singularities. This is... So this... is X sing. And then if you now have a coherent sheaf F, first of all, if you think about it as just a coherent sheaf, you can assign to it its support in X. So this is this bold stuff is the support of F, and that is going to be what happens on the zero section. And then you have to decide, it has to be a conical subset, so you have to decide which lines to include. And you include exactly those lines where F fails to be perfect. So you include some of them, so if a line appears, this appears if F is not perfect. There. So in the case of a hypersurface, it's easy to explain this. And in general, you can actually kind of reduce to this case. So it's there are also classical ways to explain what the singular support is. Other questions?
So is there some kind of variative criteria for, you say, reducing to curves?
It's not curves, it's hypersurfaces, rather.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean curves in...
Yeah.
Well, the point is that these are curves, so the support is going to be determined by vectors in V star, and vectors in V star are the same as hyperplanes in V. So really, the idea is that this will actually reduce to... So when you try, there's a way to determine singular support by looking at hyperplanes in V, or in other words, in those will correspond to hypersurfaces in S containing X. So you can just take your singular X, it's cut out, if you like, as an intersection of several hypersurfaces. You can look at this particular hypersurface and ask whether an element, whether an object is singular there, imperfect there or not. All right. Now I lost my notes. Now, let's move on. And now, suppose I'm going to, I want X now to be smooth. And again, I'm thinking about things locally, so you should feel free to assume that it's affine if you want. In this case, and it was mentioned, I believe, in Tony's talk, there's a well-behaved notion of, in general, sorry, not just, it has nothing to do with these assumptions, but anyway, you can study things like sheaves of all X linear categories over X. And because X is one affine, these are actually the same as just categories that have an action of the monoidal category of quasi-coherent sheets. So it's quasi, I'll just use the old-fashioned notation instead of saying categories that are modules over this. I'll just capitalize the word modules because it takes less room on the board. So these are the same as modules over this monoidal category. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that this, we think of these objects as some kind of higher categorical version of quasi-coherent sheaves on X. So this board is divided into two areas according to the degree of categorification. Anyways, there's, so this side is less categorified and this one is more. And now, here on the right-hand side, I'm actually going to put all this first, all this long discussion on the right-hand side of the board and say that when X is not smooth but quasi-smooth, there is actually an enlargement of this category. And in this enlargement, there's a notion of notion of singular support. Let me put it here too. And so the question that I want to answer in this talk is, what should I put? What to put here? So once again, notice, by the way, that on the left-hand side, X is actually smooth. So there's no difference between quasi-coherent and incoherent sheaves on X. So there's no, everything is automatically perfect. But the idea is that somehow, when we talk about a category of modules, when we go one step higher in the hierarchy, there should be a non-trivial generalization of this. All right, now let's consider the following Now I go on to define this. So let's consider the following situation. Suppose that I have a map, I don't know, pi or pi y, where y is smooth, the map is proper, but not necessarily smooth. In fact, I'm exactly interested in the situation where the map is not smooth. So I would like to maybe by this continuing the strategy, I should say that y can be assumed to be affine, but I don't think that's going to work so well. So anyway, so the point is that in this situation, you can consider the fiber product of y with itself over x. And this is going to be a groupoid acting on y. In particular, the category, its derived category, is going to be a monoidal category. And I'm not talking about the obvious tensor product here. Rather, I'm talking about convolution, which I'm going to denote by little star. And so we can consider now, well, if you have a monoidal category, you can consider modules over this monoidal category. But in this setup, it actually doesn't give us much anything interesting. In fact, there is a version of descent that works in this situation. So by proper descent, we will see that modules over this category I always consider this as a category under convolution, but let me just put the stuff here. So modules over this category are the same as just categories over X. Well, if the map is not surjective, then we only see categories over X whose support is the image of this map. So it's going to be, so this is the same as quasi-core X modules supported over pi of Y. So that doesn't give us any insights for now into this question mark, because we see something we already understand. However, the big thing here is that, well, y is smooth, x is smooth, but this thing isn't smooth. This thing, in fact, if you look at it, it's going to be complete intersection, or in the derived world, I should call it quasi-smooth. So this means that we actually took the smaller category associated with this thing. Instead of working with quasi-coherent sheaves, I could have worked with int-coherent sheaves and consider that as a category under convolution, which will give me a larger monoidal category and hopefully a larger category of modules. So the way out, is that this product is quasi-smooth, but not necessarily smooth. Unless the map from y to x happened to be smooth. And so then, what are then the modules over the larger monoidal category? I guess I agreed to capitalize this. So, Now, do I have time for an example? Unless everybody knows the answer. Let me actually, it shouldn't take that long. Let me look at an example. So, let's consider an example where y is just a single point included into x. And in this case, the fiber product of y with itself, well, it's like the self-intersection of this point, it's going to be, naively, it's going to be a point, less naively, it's going to be the spectrum of a symmetric algebra of which one? Right, so it's going to have some generators in odd degree. If you sit at the wrong part of the room, there is a shift by one there. So, and then we can look at this, the category of, we can first look at the category itself, look at the category of incoherent sheaves on this self-intersection. And there is a Kazul transform that makes it more understandable. Namely, it tells you that it actually is just equivalent. Let's say, let's not write equality for categories, even though I'm tempted to the category of modules over shifted symmetric, over the symmetric algebra of the shifted tangent bundle. And moreover, I mean, Kazul transform is kind of a Fourier transform in some sense anyway, so it's kind of similar to the Fourier transform. So what's nice about it is that convolution goes to the tensor product on the right-hand side. And so what this means is that this, the category that I'm trying, or the two category that I'm trying to study, the two category of modules over this monoidal category, so int core, and I'll just skip all that, modules, is going to be just the category, these are going to be the same as just a category that are linear over this thing, over this symmetric algebra, sim tyx minus two linear categories. And now inside this, now let's compare it with what we knew before, this quasi-coherent part. Well, the quasi-coherent part here, so the quasi-coherent category sitting inside of this one, so, and I can consider modules over this usual derived category, and then what I get are going to be kind of nilpotent linear. So
doesn't the inclusion go the other way?
No. Yes. The modules, it also sits this way. Yes. So the point is that quasi-core is also a colocalization of int-core. And so what happens is that there are some int-core modules on which the action of int-core factors through the action of quasi-core. And this turns out to be a full inclusion. I will say a few words about it later. And so, and on the right-hand side, what this corresponds to is the category of, is that we're looking at categories that are linear over this symmetric algebra, but they are supported at the origin, kind of set theoretically. So the same linear categories supported at the origin. Any questions about the example? All right, then let's go back to this general setup and let's see the difference between, well, just how big this, how much bigger is this category of incoherent sheaves and this category of quasi-coherent sheaves. And the difference will be measured by the shifted cotangent bundle of this quasi-smooth object. So let's look at the shifted cotangent bundle and see what it's like. Maybe I shouldn't really erase this example because the calculation, this object looks very much like a complete intersection. And so its cotangent bundle, its shifted cotangent bundle can be computed essentially by using this example. So let me leave this for now. And let me put the answer here so that they're easier to compare. So the answer is, I guess I can call it an exercise. So is that the shifted cotangent bundle to this fiber product looks as follows. So it's going to, first of all, it's going to sit in this fiber product, and you take another fiber product with the cotangent bundle to X. So xi is a cotangent vector and the corresponding point of X, and the condition, the only condition on this xi, so let me write it, so xi sits at the cotangent point, is a cotangent vector at the point of X, and this point of X is the image of y1 and y2, and the condition on xi is that it has to be orthogonal to the images of both differentials, differential at y1 and differential at y2. So xi is going to be orthogonal to the image of d pi at y1 plus the image of d pi at y2. So and this whole thing must be equal to zero. And there should be a closing brace somewhere. All right. So, and again, I mean, unfortunately, I don't have the few minutes it would take to just do this calculation, but believe me, it's pretty straightforward. Now, the point is that, so what I'm trying to say here is that the enlargement that we get from looking at this int core is controlled, I mean, we can say that it's controlled by this, but this is really also itself controlled by the cotangent space to X. And, but however, we don't see all the possible vectors in the cotangent space to X. Namely, we only see vectors that are orthogonal to the image of the differential of some point of Y. So let me actually denote the set of vectors that can appear by Z. So denote by Z the set of all, it's going to be a subset in the cotangent bundle. And specifically, it's the set of points where xi is orthogonal to the image of the differential for some y which maps to x. Okay. Now, this z is actually going to be, first of all, it's going to be closed because that's at least one reason to assume that y is proper over x. It's going to be conical for obvious reasons, and it's also easy to see that it's isotropic. So z is conical isotropic. And, well, conical isotropic subset of this symplectic object, this symplectic variety, the cotangent space to X. By the way, to relate this to the topic of the conference, I mean, it's kind of, I'm writing things like sitting in this cotangent space, but it's, from looking, for instance, at this analogy, it seems that it would be natural to actually work with the shifted cotangent bundle here. So, but well, if we can twist everything and look back at degree zero things, when we're looking at conical things, might as well consider the unshifted cotangent bundle. Okay, and so now we come to the main result. I think I can safely erase this. I'm
shifted by one.
Yes. And so the statement that I want to make is, so can be called theorem, is that this modules, this two category that we are studying, so the two category of int core y cross x with y modules, in fact, depends only on this conical isotropic z and not on y itself. Depends only on z, not on y itself. And so the point is that, that's the reason why I wanted to keep this on the board, is that we are indeed trying to somehow feel, we are now closer to feeling this diagram, this table, because we can now assign a two category to assign a two category to a conical subset in the cotangent space of X, not the shifted cotangent, in the cotangent bundle of X. And in fact, basically what I want to say is that the analogy with this picture holds. So the story that we understood before, if we just study category of modules, categories over X, these will correspond to the zero section in the cotangent bundle. And this is some kind of, this can give you an enlargement of the two category of categories over X.
Sorry, in your analogy, originally X was quasi-smooth.
Yes.
X is smooth.
Yes.
Is there?
Well, the point is that originally I was also working with categories, and now I'm working with two categories.
Okay.
That's all I want to say. So I want to say that categories of coherent and quasi-incoherent and quasi-coherent sheaves over a quasi-smooth object are controlled by the shifted cotangent bundle in the same way as these two categories of categories over X and some enlargement of it are controlled over a smooth X are controlled by the non-shifted cotangent bundle.
But you haven't told us how yet.
I almost.
Starting with a conical, there's a dropping guy. With
yes, him. I will say that in a moment, and then I'll probably will not have time for any Langlands. I don't know if anybody's going to cry. So, anyway, let me actually first say, maybe make this precise. Instead of proving it, I will at least make the statement precise. So the point is that if I have two two such smooth varieties proper over X, then I can naturally construct, I have such monoidal categories associated to both of them, but I also have a natural bimodule, which is just, I mean, as usual, I can try going from y1 to y2. So I can consider int core of y1 cross y2 over x as a bimodule over int core y1. X, Y1, and the same thing with Y2. And the claim is that if the conical Lagrangian corresponding to these two subsets are Y1 and Y2 are actually the same. I call them Lagrangian. Conical isotropics corresponding to these two are the same. Then the this bimodule actually gives a Morita equivalence between the two category of modules over one and two category of modules over the other. So. Yeah, I think I'll erase this because. So if Z1 is equal to Z2, this bimodule gives a Morita equivalence.
About set support.
Yes. Right. In fact, yes, there is no fine structure. No derived, no non-reduced structure. It's very set theoretic question. And in fact, I mean, I will even say that if Z1 is contained in Z2, then this bimodule will give you, not obviously, you don't want an equivalence, but it will give you a full embedding. A full embedding, which is something that you expect when you talk about set theoretic support, but not when you talk about scheme theoretic support. Right. Now, let me actually give a version of this. So, which will somehow provide a bridge between modules over the int coherent, modules over the int coherent convolution category and this quasi coherent convolution category. I mean, after all, we know, we just discussed that there are other things sitting between int core and quasi core, so I didn't actually have to choose this one or that one. I can choose other conical subsets, and this will give me categories. This will give me other monoidal categories sitting between the two. So, and in fact, I know where to get such monoidal, to get such a conical subsets, because the conical subsets in this shifted Cartesian bundle ultimately reduce to things sitting in the just in the usual Cartesian bundle of X. So I can do the following. I can play the following game. So instead of looking at this conical isotropic Z, I can look at I can take something smaller. Now, given, so let y and z be as before. So given any conical closed z prime sitting in z, I can consider the category I'll just denote it by int core y cross y x with subscript z prime, which is the full subcategory given by the condition on the singular support. And thanks to this exercise, the condition makes sense. So I can require that the singular support of F is contained in y cross z prime. So if you want, you can take intersection of this with this. And the claim is that this is going to be a monoidal subcategory. In fact, an ideal. And so I can consider modules over it. And then I have a version of this theorem, which I guess I should denote theorem prime, is that the two category of modules over it depends only on Z prime and not on Z. Depends only on Z prime and not on anything else, not on Z, not on Y. All right, and now this answers Tony's question, because I can write now any conical isotropic subset can occur as this Z prime, but then if you actually give you a conical isotropic subset and you want to write it like this, this is going to be somewhat painful. You would have, for instance, to say, well, it's contained in this normal to a particular, so let's say it's contained in the normal bundle to a sub variety of X. Okay, let's take the subvariety, but then I take its closure. Its closure is going to be singular, so if I want to get in this setup, I would have to resolve singularities. So, and then if I need to, so this might give me some, if I take Y to be this resolution of singularities, then the corresponding subset Z might be too large, but that's not a problem because we can take anything sitting in it. And then if there are other conormals present, you would have to repeat this procedure, so you get some kind of union of a bunch of, disjoint union of a bunch of things that are smooth over X.
Is there a sheet of two categories on Z?
That's, I would say, so what I'm different, I mean, yes. In fact, I prefer thinking about closed subsets rather than open subsets here, but of course nobody prevents you from looking at things that are actually supported. So it's again, it's similar to this story with usual singular support. Do you prefer thinking about closed subsets, or if you think about open things that will be like category of singularities, like quotients?
I mean, there's two, you can just say the dual statement.
Sure.
It's going to be a Cauchy.
Right. And in fact, I mean, we have the following. So let me try to summarize. So I gave kind of the construction. Now, what did this construction, what did it buy us? So what is the end result of this? So summary, is that to any conical isotropic Z in the cotangent bundle, we have assigned a two category. And let me denote it by C of Z. And moreover, this two category behaves like the category of things supported on Z. So if Z1 is contained in Z2, then one of two categories is a full subcategory of the other. So full subcategory. So now, and yes, and also I should say that C of zero, zero section, is going to be just the two category of categories over X.
And so, but this is really a conical statement. So if we had done it in the shifted cotangent bundle with arbitrary isotropic guys, not necessarily conical, we don't have a definition of this.
No, I'm not. Yes, I mean this requires.
So there is no way to do micro local guys.
Well, depends on what you mean by micro. So so yeah, I mean if micro local for you means not conical, not then conical. For now no. For now I don't know. Right, and let me just finish by saying that, by saying that, of course, if you want to, you can now just take the union of all of this and say that there is, in fact, a big category. So, you can say that there is this union. Maybe you want to take a union and complete it somehow. It's up to you. So, C, there is a big two category. And then within this big two category, there's a notion of support. Because if you have an object, let's not complete it actually for now. So if you have an object here, it's going to lie in one of those C of Z's. And in fact, there's a minimal one that it lies in. And so for any particular object of this two category, so for A in C, there is the notion of, let's call it singular support of A, which is going to be the minimal Z such that A is in this C of Z. And so now we completed this analogy. So we can we want to think of this as some kind of categorification of the notion of int coherent sheaves. And I don't know, maybe I should call them holonomic incoherent sheaves because we only get isotropic something. I'm not sure what to say here. So maybe this is, I mean, it's depending on your imagination, you can decide whether you want this analogy to go any further or whether it's supposed to stop here. Anyway, we now have a big category. Within this big category, there's a notion of singular. So this big category associates with the starting point was just this smooth X. And within this big category, there is a notion for objects in this two category. There is a notion of singular support. And things that are supported over the zero sections are kind of familiar objects, except for their higher categorical nature, maybe. And other things are, well, less familiar. Now, to finish, let me say that this is, in many ways, this is similar and runs parallel to the work of Kapustin, Razansky, and Saulina. Except, I guess, what I, you can say that what they do is perhaps closer to working outside of the zero section here. And so that's why they work with matrix factorizations, which in this language corresponds to modding, all taking all the int cores and modding them out by quasi-core, and so working with category of singularities only. I'm sorry I didn't get to motivation. So I'll be happy to discuss it privately if anybody's interested.
Thank you. Questions?
Is this chief of two categories just on X? Is it in any sense locally constant? Just on
well,
the zero section.
I mean, define, so if you, I mean, there is a, it's a crystal, right? So if that makes you happy, it's not
going to be
the way. So I'm, am I?
Well, what other notion of local constancy there
is? Is it a crystal of two categories on X?
Wait, no, I thought I knew the answer to this, now I'm confused. So, right, no, I was thinking about something else. So I'm not sure, like, I mean, in what sense is the category of quasi-coherent sheaves? So I was thinking about the dual object. Of course, if you are thinking about things supported on something, then this has a natural crystal structure if you understand the notion of support in the set theoretic way. So I'm afraid I was answering the wrong question. Yes, if you just look at sheaves of, the category, what cannot be denied is that the category of quasi-coherent sheaves is acted upon by the category of D-modules, because you can just forget the D-module structure. So, I don't know, does this answer your question? I mean, and you also know that, I mean, this is supposed to be a categorification of like the constant sheaf, and the constant sheaf is locally constant. So,
okay.
So in some sense, yes, but I mean, other than that, it depends on exactly what you want.
Is there anything special about guys that have Lagrangians at all?
From this point of view, I don't see it.
So, for instance, can you identify proper morphisms Y to X that will have Lagrangians at all?
I'm actually not sure whether they might be always Lagrangian for all I know. I actually, and in fact, at some point I believed that it's always Lagrangian, and then I was corrected, and now I no longer believe. Now I don't know what to believe. So,
other questions? Let's thank him again.